ॐ नमः प्रणवार्ताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विधविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दायिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। Arjuna is talking about the evils of the war, how a war causes social evils. War destroys family unit by destroying the male of that family. It destroys the very family unit, then creates corruption in the family. When families are corrupted, children are not given culture and values. Because children are ignorant and misguided, the future generation will be a misguided society, a corrupt society. In our Vedic culture, Veda has prescribed a lifestyle for four types of people, which we saw: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, keeping one goal in its mind. The entire human life has only one goal. So Veda has given all the lifestyle keeping this one goal. We call it moksha or freedom. Once that goal is removed from the society, and when the society wants to be a materialistic society wherein artha and kama are going to be a prominent one, then the social order is disturbed. Vedic society was governed by an unfailing divine law or invisible law called karma niyati, theory of karma. What it says, you are responsible for your bondage, therefore you are responsible for your moksha or freedom also. You are responsible for your future. In whatever way you want to be in future life, the responsibility lies on your shoulder only. You can prepare your future, and all your present is because of the karma phala of the past. So your past actions are responsible for the present condition, therefore you can change your present condition, which is in the form of bondage, towards the freedom. In modern society, there is no faith in this theory. This is the main cause of all the degradations in any society. The society was governed by an invisible principle, validated by the day-to-day life itself. Because we find from the birth itself, some are poor, some are rich, some are very healthy, some are not healthy, some are intelligent, some are not that much intelligence. So all these differentiations in the world which we find, people ask, what is the reason for this differentiation? If we say, no, God only gave this differentiation, why should God differentiate men among men? What is the necessity for a God who is omniscient, who is all powerful? He could have created people in same way without any differentiation. So God is the responsible person for all the differentiation, if anybody says, and that too they say it is his will, you cannot question, then we find it difficult to accept that proposal. Because God, we say, is very compassionate, not belong to one particular group, he is universal. So So he doesn't have any differentiation, but still why he has created this differentiation in the human society or in the entire world? One particular jiva is born as a tiger, another is as lion, another is poor deer. So in our Vedic culture, very clearly stated, God is the creator, God is the judge, but he doesn't give judgment according to his own whims and fancies. According to the capacity or eligibility of the person, whether the person is a wrong person or a good person, according to that only, according to his own actions only, judge gives the judgment. Actions doesn't produce any judgment. There must be a judge to give judgment. The judge also cannot be a person of whimsical person. So he gives judgment based on our own actions. So our actions become the determining factor for the present condition whatever we are. They say petrol is the driving force, but petrol is not the cause of accident. Petrol is driving force for the car, but it doesn't make the car to get accident. Similarly, Bhagavan is the creator of the entire universe, but he is not responsible for the differentiation which we are seeing in the world. Our own actions are the cause for that differentiation. When this understanding is lost sight of, then what happened? The society doesn't have any pillar to hold. And this karma niyati was an invisible force which kept everybody. We call it moral sense. Moral sense, it is inside the human mind. When this moral sense is lost, however much you put lot of laws, you cannot control the human mind. Laws are external, moral sense is internal. So by act of parliament, you cannot keep the society as a society with justice. That's what we find now. So many laws, amendments and acts, they are going on passing, but still they could not control the crime and the injustice. What happened? They say law of the land will take care of, but law of the land is subject to amendments. Just a group of people can change it, and it is subject to misinterpretation of the very intelligent people, and subject to cheating by the mighty people. There will be always a loophole through which you can find a way out from the crimes. But law of karma, that is karma niyati, you cannot get away, because the person who does the wrong thing, he himself is the sakshi for his wrong action. So he is going to reap the result of his own actions. There was no external mechanism to govern the human being. There is an internal mechanism. So when that internal mechanism is lost sight of, then society is not afraid of sinning. It will casually sin, because it knows, if I have money, even though I do lot of sins, lot of crimes, still I can purchase the people, including judges, including the politicians, including the officers. I can purchase that people, then I can get away from that. When raga dvesha has become the deciding factor, when money and pleasures have become the deciding factor, the result is what? The result is nobody is there to control. Nobody is there to control anybody. In our society, we find majority of people are immature even with regard to following the traffic rules. You can see traffic signal will be there, but people will see whether police are there or not. Once traffic signal is there, it is your moral sense, you should keep quiet. But still they will see whether police is there or not, and if police is not there, immediately they will try to violate. So that much immaturity is there. That is the reason Vedic culture has not given freedom with regard to the day-to-day life of the human being. It has given freedom to the philosophical thinking. You can think in any way in the search of truth. Indian society is so free. It can worship any form of the Lord. It can do any worship. It can attain the Lord through any means whichever he likes. But in day-to-day life, this freedom was not given to the society, because Vedic society, Vedic culture knows that man's mind is generally, it is an immature mind. It has given freedom to only one particular category, absolute freedom. Since it finds that category is a matured category. The sign of maturity in human life is renunciation. Whoever is ready to renounce anything for the sake of welfare of the society, that person considered as a matured person. For him, there was no duties at all. For a sannyasi, there was no duties at all. He doesn't have any social obligations. All others have social obligations. Therefore only every varna, whether it is Brahmana varna, Kshatriya varna, Vaishya varna, Shudra varna, every varna was kept under full control by the Vedic culture. Except the sannyasi. Sannyasi means a person who has vairagya and viveka. He knows naturally there is a need for moral sense, so he will never violate the moral code of conduct, and he has the vairagya, that is dispassion towards these pleasures. Therefore there is no propeller to push him or to pull him towards the crimes. Therefore he was given, like a mother generally used to tell when the child is 2 year old or 3 year old, mother used to tell, hey, go and wash your feet, go and wash your hands, and then come to dining hall. Because the child doesn't know how to keep its body in a healthy way, clean way. So mother teaches that. The same mother stops teaching after, when she finds that the child is matured enough to keep the body in a healthy way. So she doesn't insist that. The child himself goes, just because mother stopped telling, child doesn't eat as it is. Child himself goes and washes his legs and hands, then come to the dining hall. When the child is found to be a matured one, there is no need for any teaching, guidance. When the maturity is absent, there is a need for teaching and guidance. Therefore, here Arjuna says, when the society has given to materialism, has given to money and pleasure, then the future society children will be in confusion, which to follow, whom to follow. Everybody goes in their own way with a selfish motive in order to gain some physical pleasures. So whom to follow? Once children are in confusion, then the next generation does not have anything to hold in life. They will not have a particular culture in life. Without culture, society cannot be a peaceful society and progressive society. That's what our Arjuna says. Adharma abhivavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankaraha. Hey Varshneya, hey Bhagavan, Vrishnikula Sambhutaha, when males are destroyed in the war, women become impiety, they become orphans. More women are there, but less men are there. Then what happens? In order to protect themselves and in order to keep under somebody's security, there will be a people who always go for adharmic means. They will misuse the women. Once women are misused, then what happens? Srishu dushtasu kulastriyaha pradishyanti. They become corrupt. Once women become corrupted, then the future generation suffers. Children suffers. Srishu dushtasu varshneya. When women are made corrupted, varna sankaraha jayate. There will be an intermingling of the categories. Therefore, you have to stop this war for the sake of keeping a peaceful society. This is the argument of Arjuna. Now he continues. சங்கரோ நரகாயைவ குலக்னானாம் குலஸ்ய ச பதந்தி பிதரோ ஹ்யேஷாம் லுப்த பிண்டோதக க்ரியாஹ. நாட் ஒன்லி தேர் வில் பி ப்ராப்ளம்ஸ் இன் தி டே டு டே லைஃப், ஈவன் வித் ரிகார்ட் ரிலிஜியஸ் லைஃப் ஆல்சோ தேர் வில் பி ப்ராப்ளம்ஸ் அண்ட் கன்ஃபியூஷன்ஸ். சங்கரஹா நரகாய ஏவ, திஸ் confusion, this intermingling brings out a hellish life. Who all will go to naraka? Kulagnanam kulasya cha, both the person who caused this problem and the person who is affected by this problem, both will be affected by this sankara. Not only that, ஏஷாம் பிதரஹா லுப்த பிண்டோதக க்ரியாஹா பதந்தி. இன் அவர் வேதிக் கல்ச்சர், ஒன் ஆஃப் தி பஞ்சமஹா யஜ்ஞா, தெர் இஸ் அன் யஜ்ஞா கால்ட் பித்ரு யஜ்ஞா. இட் இஸ் தி ஆப்ளிகேட்டரி டியூட்டி ஆஃப் தி சொசைட்டி டு கிவ் ரெஸ்பெக்ட் அண்ட் டூ வர்ஷிப் ஃபார் தி ஃபோர் ஃபாதர்ஸ். எ பர்சன் ஹூ டசன்ட் ரெஸ்பெக்ட், ஹூ டசன்ட் வர்ஷிப் தி ஃபோர் ஃபாதர்ஸ், he doesn't have any gratitude. Because of their contribution only I am living now. If I don't have gratitude towards them, then the forefathers who are in need of my own worships in the other lokas, they also will be deprived of these kriyas. We call it shraddha and tarpana. First argument was from the worldly angle, now the second argument is from the scriptural angle.
தோஷைர் ஏதைர் குலக்னானாம் வர்ண சங்கர காரகைஹ உத்யாஜந்தே ஜாதி தர்மாஹ குல தர்மாஷ்ச சாஸ்வதாஹ. ஏதைஹி தோஷைஹி,
because of all these reasons, because of all these evil deeds, which are responsible for Varna Sankara Karakaihi. They are Varna Sankara Karakaihi. Karakaihi means responsible for Varna Sankara. Kulagnanam Jati Dharmaha Utyajante. Caste-based duties. In our Vedic culture, they have given duties according to the caste. Caste means we saw that according to the nature of the person, he was given a duty. If a person is a thinking being, he was given a duty of perpetuating the culture by study and by teaching. And if you make a person who is very much sound in his thinking power to work in the field, he will not shine there. And the restless person who has lot of muscle power, you cannot make him to study and teach. So therefore, based on their swabhava, Vedic culture has allotted certain duties. So those duties are called jati dharmaha. So they will, that duties will be violated. And shashvataha kula dharma cha utyajante. Kula dharma also will be the family tradition. Every family has its own tradition. That also will be destroyed.
உத்சன்ன குல தர்மானாம் மனுஷ்யானாம் ஜனார்தன நரகே நியதம் வாசஹ பவதி இத்யனுசுஷ்ரும.
When people take to licentious lifestyle, when there is nobody to control them, when artha and kama becomes predominant in the society, that is the only criterion for human life. When likes and dislikes rules the human life, when there is no fear of papa, punya, and when there is no faith in the karma, niyati and lord or moksha, and when there is no higher goals for human life other than sensory life, when there is no higher goal for human life, what is the result? Then the human society is going to be converted as a hell with a psychological disaster. What we call hell? Hell is a place where you get lot of suffering, lot of problems. So here Arjuna says, you need not die to go to hell. While living itself, you will live in the hell. We all know how hellish it is, our Bangalore traffic, pollution, sound, so many. We ourselves say hellish it is. Just 30 kilometers away you go, peaceful, pleasant, but you will not have current, you will not have water there. What to do? So human society will be converted as a hellish society. What is the disaster? Here Arjuna says psychological disaster will be there. Nobody will be there to have trust. For a human mind, there is a need for having trust on others. Without trust, you cannot live a life at all, even one day. Just to take example, you get away from the house, before stepping down from the house, if your mind is afraid, if your mind is not convinced that when I go out, I can return safely, suppose. If you don't have this conviction, you cannot get out. If you go out, then there will be some people, terrorists or kidnappers, they can kidnap us, and metro bus services can simply take away our life. All these doubts, if it is there, if there is a mistrust or distrust, then what happens? Very life itself becomes a troublesome affair. Nobody will be there on whom we can have some trust. In distrust, I will have fear and anxiety. Why children are free from fear and anxiety? Because they have a complete trust on the parent. They never bothered about what they are going to eat as tiffin or a lunch or a night dinner. They play. Entire life, childhood life is spent in only play. They don't know, child comes and asks, mommy, what you are going to give lunch? What is the menu? Can you tell? Only father has to ask, what you want? Do you want any vegetable? What you are going to prepare? Our mother has to worry. But children don't worry. Why? There is a trust, 100% trust on the parent. In distress, human life will be with full of anxieties and fear. Everyone will be unpredictable. You cannot predict anybody. If you don't have trust, everyone will be unpredictable. The family life is for what? Having someone to have a trust. Having someone who will not reject me at any cost. When family members are not trustable, then human life is certainly a hellish life. No psychological support for husband or wife. In a Western society, these things are very predominant. In our Indian society also, slowly it is coming. What happens? Every day, husband and wife has to tell, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because there is a doubt. Anytime you can, some journal they are writing. How to keep your spouse with you? Employer only used to be worried how to keep the employee with us. So nowadays, spouse also started worrying how to keep the spouse with you. So all the time you should be very, very attractive, physically attractive in the dress wise. Your husband should not know that you have become old. Your wife should not know that you have become old. And therefore you have to apply all hair cream, so many other things. Big business is going on. So all the time you have to keep your spouse in a good humor. Why? The criterion for the bond between husband and wife has become very, very fragile one, based on artha and kama. Since it is not based on dharma, it becomes naturally based on artha, money or sense pleasure. For sense pleasure, naturally the physical beauty and attraction is a necessity. And for artha, for comfort, you have to be a earning member. Otherwise, there is a possibility any time the spouse may give up anybody. These are all problems. So entire society becomes an hellish. No psychological support. They call it falling lap. There must be a lap, empty lap, wherein you have to be able to fall. When you get lot of troubles from the external society, when you come back, there must be some lap which is empty, which is caring, which is trustable, which is loving, which will never reject me. That type of empty lap I need, every human being needs. So there must be one person to whom I can open my heart, I can tell all my weaknesses. And that person should not take advantage. If that person is not trustable one, naturally he will take advantage, and you also will not tell. So what happens? Pressure is built up. When pressure built up, what happens?
Burst.
So when pressure is built up, immediately the locker gets released, excess gas comes out. If excess gas doesn't come out, what will happen? Another 2 minutes only, it will burst. So human life, human mind will have a disaster, psychological disaster. And psychological disaster of an individual will lead to psychological disaster of the society. Then there will be a growth in crimes. And who will be the beneficiaries? Doctors, lawyers, and the psychotherapists. All diseases nowadays, they say 80% of the diseases are because of psychosomatic problem. So doctors will thrive like that. That's what now going on. Very, very expensive people. And the lawyers, of course, when somebody wants to get divorced, who you cannot get simply, you cannot say, get away. And therefore, the nowadays in Western countries, we hear there is a relationship called live-in relationship. Without any commitment, just for sense pleasure sake, we will live together. When you find that there is no compatibility, these are all the words they use. When we find that our compatibility has lost, what type of compatibility? Just based on physical things, sensory things. When you find that, there will not be any problem. If you marry, then there will be problem, legal problem and other things. So we will keep our bank account separate and all our assets also separate. We will live together in a live-in relationship. What will happen, suppose if a child bonds to that parent? They are not committed to the child. The child is left out without any care. These are all the problems in the society. And you have a lot of problem in the mind. Nobody is there, even spouse is not ready to hear those problems. To whom you will go? Either to a psychiatrist or to a swami. So psychiatrist will charge you by $500 or something. Heavily he will charge for what? He will hear just whatever you are telling, that's all. And he will give you a sleeping tablet. Nothing else he can do. Because he cannot solve your problem. So for hearing purpose, you need somebody. If your spouse is not ready to hear, if parents are not ready to hear, then there will be one particular profession called psychiatrist. So they will charge you and all types of problems will be there. So our Arjuna says, Utsanna kula dharmanam, when religious practices of the family is destroyed, when artha and kama rules the family life, then what happens? Manushyanam vasaha narake bhavati. Manushyanam vasaha, the life of human being will be hellish even while living, and after death also they will go to hell for a long period. Since there was no religious life, since there was no religious, there was no worship, there was no puja in the family, so what happens? Whether you accept or not, jiva takes millions of births, it's a fact. Just because I don't accept, I don't have faith, it is not going to be a false one. It is a fact. Whether I accept or not, there is no sunrise, it's a fact. No sunrise is a fact. Just because I don't accept or just because I am seeing all the time sunrise, sunrise, fact, you cannot change the fact. So in our Vedic culture, every jiva takes plenty of janmas, millions of janmas. So there is a rebirth there. Then only this karma and niyati will help. And there was a category called charuvakas. They say there is no rebirth at all. Charuvakas means a people who can talk very nicely. Charu means wonderful. Vak means wonderful speakers. They will speak in such a way it will appeal to our mind. What they say, who saw that there is a life after death or not? Anybody came and told you? Anybody came and told you that I went there, they put me in hell, I went there, they put me in the swarga, like that, anybody told you? So don't bother about a life after the death. So bother about the life now itself. How you should bother? Enjoy whatever is available to you now. No, I have lot of desires to enjoy, but I have a small means. Means are very small, desires are more. What to do? Take loan. Take loan and enjoy. Because means to enjoy, means for enjoyment is less. Agenda or desire list is more. What you do? Take loan and enjoy. Rinankritva grutam pibe. Vasmi bhutasya dehasya kutaha punaragamanam. Once the body is burned, where is it, who has seen that it has come back or not? So the person who has given loan, he will come and ask naturally, hey, you pay me back the loan. So you, what should I tell? If you ask this Charvaka philosopher, say, you say, yes, I received loan from you, but it is not repayable. For repaying purpose, I have not taken loan. For enjoyment purpose only, I have taken loan. It is your problem that you have given to me loan. Hey, you will have papa and punya. Then this person says, who knows papa and punya? I want now food, I want now car, I want some the house. You happen to be a fool to give me loan. So you gave me, I enjoyed it, over. So that is the philosophy, very appealing, na? That's what now everywhere is going on. So when the person dies, because there is no religious merits which he has acquired in while living, in the absence of religious merits, we call punya, the person naturally will born in the hell also. Then we can ask Arjuna, how you know what is going to happen in the next life? How you know? Have you seen? He says, iti anushushruma. I have not seen it, but I have learnt it from the Shruti. Anushushruma means we have heard this. Shruti means which is heard. Shruti, Shastra means which is heard by the rishis. So they have told their disciples, Guru Shishya Parampara, it comes up to our level. So Arjuna says, like this, it is told in the scriptures, that only I am quoting. These ideas shows that Arjuna is well versed in Dharma Shastra. He is a dharmic man, intrinsically dharmic man. That is why he is afraid of adharma. And he is a well learned man in Dharma Shastra. But the cause of fear only is going to be a different one. He says, the cause of my fear of adharma is, by war we will destroy the family unit, and by destroying family unit we will destroy the all the dharmic actions and dharmic society. Therefore I am afraid of. Bhagavan is going to tell, by preserving these adharmic people who are living at present, then also there is a possibility of adharmic society. Therefore, in order to have a dharmic society in future, you have to remove certain adharmic people in the present generation. That is going to be the argument. Here, because of attachment, Arjuna has lost sight of that angle, that there are adharmic people now itself. We have to remove them. That angle he has lost sight of because of attachment. So he is worrying about the future adharmic society. He is telling future will be adharmic, future will be adharmic. Bhagavan is going to tell, are present itself is adharmic. The Duryodhana who is standing in front of you is adharmic, embodiment of adharma. So the very present should be taken care of. By taking care of present only, you can have hold on future. By losing the present, you cannot have any hold on the future. So he is worrying about future adharmic society, but failed to see present adharmic people who are standing just in front of him. And moreover, he is now a weak person. He himself is going to accept that. In weakness, you cannot follow any dharma. Weakness always leads you to adharma only. So in strength only you can follow dharma. In strength only you can follow ahimsa. Therefore, a weak person is not fit, not eligible to follow ahimsa, like a beggar cannot renounce. What he can renounce? Already he is beggar. What is there to renounce? So already you are a weak man, weakness is born out of attachment, so you cannot talk about dharma at all. That is the angle from the Bhagavan's words. You become a strong man and stand as a strong person, then only you can teach dharma to others. Without you yourself following dharma, you yourself being a weak person, a confused person, you cannot talk about dharma. But Arjuna, now he continues. It's a monologue going on continuously.
Ahobata mahat papam kartum vyavasitavayam yadrajya sukhalo bhene hantum swajanamudyata.
We told Arjuna is a weak man. Arjuna has attachment. Here there is a proof. He says, Swajanam hantum udyata. Swajanam. Swajanam means my own relatives. How can I kill my own relatives? He is not bothered about killing anybody. If they are enemies, if he finds, he will kill. But he finds them as his own relatives. So he says, we have become ready to kill the Swajanas, our own people. Arjuna's problem or his confusion born out of attachment is clear by this word called Swajana. So his entire problem is this word only, Swa. I belong to certain group belong to me. Aham yesham mama yete. This is called samsara in the philosophical language. I am not bothered about dharma or adharma. I am bothered about the protection of myself and the people who are connected with myself. Here he says, Aho vada alas, mahat papam kartum vyavasita vayam. We are attempting to do a great sin. Great sin means what? By killing the people, warriors, we are going to create Kulanasha. Then because of Kulanasha, there will be Varna Sankara. And because of Varna Sankara, there will be Dharma Nasha. And because of Dharma Nasha, there will be Pitrunam Patanam. All these things we have not at all thought of. Somehow we have entered the battlefield. Even the sankalpa, yuddha sankalpa itself is a very decision itself, a sinful act because of short-sightedness. Yad rajya sukha lobhena. He says we have come to this war keeping this rajya sukha as the goal, but that is not the fact. The war was decided to establish the dharma. Because when Bhagavan went as a messenger, Pandavas were ready to accept even 5 villages, small villages. He asked Yudhishthira, I am going to be a messenger. What is your position? You tell. Then Yudhishthira told, you ask our Indraprastha, our country, to give back as they told. Whatever they told, we have followed all those things in letter and in spirit. So now they have to give back. So you ask them. If they refuse, ask at least 50% of our country. If they refuse, ask 5 taluks. If they refuse, ask 5 villages. Bhagavan did not ask afterwards. If they refuse, he will tell 5 houses. Because Dharmaputra was not at all ready for war at all. He was always happy with Vanavasa. They born in forest, they grown up in forest only. In between they came to city and married and established a new kingdom. After immediately they have been sent to again forest, so they were happy. And just for the Rajya Sukha, they never wanted to kill anybody. But Arjuna here says, for the sake of Rajya Sukha we have decided to have this war. That is the forgetfulness, delusion we call it. What purpose? We have entered one place, we can see, suddenly we will enter one room. For what purpose we enter, we will forget. And we will do something, we will talk and go back. Then after going back, we will be, I want to take that particular item from that room. So it is called confusion. Here Arjuna says, Yad rajya sukha lobhena, because of greed or pleasures, swajanam hantum udyata. We are ready to kill the swajanas. O Lord, I am thankful to my wisdom, he says. I am thankful to my wisdom. At least in the 11th hour, I could avoid all these sinful acts. Arjuna has totally forgotten that the war is for dharma sthapanam and not for rajya sukha. The very Gita started, dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. It's a dharma kshetra. This is by Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra himself knows that it is going to be a dharma yuddha. But unfortunately our Arjuna has forgotten. This forgetfulness is called Vimohaha. Here Arjuna is fully convinced about his propriety of his wisdom. We are thinking he is confused. He thinks that he is alright. He did not want even a consultation from the Lord to take a decision. So he himself decides. Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayaha dhatarashtrarane anyuhu tanme kshemataram bhavet. This is the decision. Therefore, I don't want to go for war at all. Arjuna thinks that he has solved the problem. What was the problem? Problem of killing, problem of kulanasha, problem of dharma nasha, he has solved. How? By stopping the war. What will you do if they attack? If you ask Arjuna, okay, you are not ready for war. Already shankas were blown both the sides. They are ready now. One shanka is blown means there will be a war certainly. They will not go back, even if you want to go back. So what you will do if they kill you? Here Arjuna says, no problem. No problem. I am interested in social peace only. For the sake of social peace and harmony, I am ready to give up my life. See, when a person is confused, first problem will be, he will not know that he is in confusion. Second problem will be, he will try to justify this confusion. Third problem will be, he will pretend that he is a wise man. He will give all colors for his wrong decision to pretend as a great one. Arjuna says, let them kill me. Let me sacrifice my life for others' sake. My death is insignificant compared to the welfare of the society. Giving a shade of positive quality for our own weaknesses. Like a drunkard. He is a drunkard. He is addicted for drinking. So you ask, he is an officer also, suppose. You ask him, hey, why you are having all these bad habits? He will say, this is social decency. When some people gather together, when everybody drinks, you have to drink. Giving a positive color for the weaknesses, it is called. If I avoid this drinking, they will feel bad. He doesn't want to avoid, but he gives a color in that way. Arjuna tries to give a color to his personality. He projects himself as a sacrificer for the society, while in fact, he is a weak person with raga, shoka and moha. His point is, welfare of the society through the practice of non-violence is always preferable than my personal welfare. It is nice to hear, na? Welfare of the society through peaceful manners, through non-violence, is always preferable than my own personal welfare. Very nice, na? But here Bhagavan is going to say, this attitude can be only with a strong man. Non-violence can be practiced by a strong person only. And non-violence is not a virtue for all. Non-violence is not a virtue at all situations. Some terrorist comes and kidnaps our daughter. We will say, we have to practice non-violence. It's not a virtue. When somebody comes and tries to humiliate a girl, that girl says, Swamiji has told non-violence is a perfect reason. Therefore, I should not fight. She has to fight to keep her honor. So, non-violence is not a virtue at all situations. Non-violence is not a virtue for everyone. Non-violence is a virtue only for a man of courage. He must have the strength to give a big blow, but still, that person should have the control over it. So, ahimsa is given only for sannyasi. While taking sannyasa, only one vrata is given to a sannyasi. We call it abhaya pradana. A sannyasi calls the entire creation, including Indra, devatas, and aquatic creatures, animals, human beings. Whole creation he calls and gives abhayam dattam. I give protection to you all. I will never be a competitor in your search of comforts or pleasures or money. I will not create any competition. Not only with regard to these present world pleasures, with regard to the heavenly pleasures also, I will not be a competitor. Therefore, Indra, don't disturb me. Indra is always afraid. Anybody when does tapasya, so he is afraid. Because he is afraid of his losing his seat. So generally, he will send all Tamba, Urvasi and other people. So sannyasi says, I am not for this, Indra. I am not for your post, nor for the pleasures also. So he gives a abhaya pradhana. So that non-violence is a virtue only for a matured people and a strong person who can stand on his own leg without any need of emotional support. Emotional support is necessary. For a monk, he finds that my emotional support is my own Lord who is my Antaryami. I don't need any emotional support outside. I have found out my Antaryami, my Bhagavan, who will be my emotional support. This type of person only was allowed to have non-violence. And Kshatriya speaking about non-violence. A military man who is saving our border, when China or Pakistan terrorists come inside, so he said, I am for non-violence. There must be some people who have to practice violence. Then only there will be some people who can practice non-violence. So Vedic culture knows all these things. Kshatriya can never talk about non-violence, and that too, for the establishment of dharma, he has to do all sorts of violence. Bhagavan knows this is a breakdown, nervous breakdown. But Arjuna says, Yadi Shastrapanayaha Dhatarashtraha Apratikaram Ashastram Mam Rane Hanyuhu. The people who are with the Dhatarashtras, Duryodhanas, who are with all types of weapons, will kill me in this war who is without any weapons. Generally in those days, there was a rule, if a person doesn't have a weapon, he should not kill. Arjuna says, these Dhritarashtra Putras, I know, the adharmic fellows, even if I drop my weapon, they will come and kill me. That type of adharmic people, even if they kill me, tad me kshemataram bhavet. That will be a great advantage for me who want to establish dharma in this society, peace and harmony in this society. He has given the ultimatum of withdrawal from the war to Krishna. When a person has decided to do something with a conviction that the decision is a proper and for the sake of social welfare or higher cause, nobody can change his decision. If the deciding person, if he thinks there may be some problem, then he will come for suggestion. Here Arjuna has decided, and he has decided with all conviction that this decision is going to help the society, and that too in a higher way. So like our jihadists, what they say, other than our group, nobody is eligible for staying in this world. Nobody is eligible for staying in this world. Where you got this knowledge? From our sacred books. Who has told? Our own prophet has told. So entire world is divided, believers and non-believers, infidels they call. So what they do? They give up their life, they fight and kill others also with all convictions that they are doing a correct thing and proper thing, and they are going to get a reward for that action. So this is a misplaced value born out of confusion. You can suggest some corrective measures only to a person who has doubt in his decision. If he has some doubt in his decision, then only you can suggest. Arjuna has exhausted all his arguments and conveyed his decision with all conviction. What is the condition of Lord? Bhagavan is keeping strategic silence, it is called. Neither approval nor disapproval. So he cannot do anything because the receiver does not need his help. Only he can wish Arjuna, Arjuna, wish you all the best. Dirghayushman Bhava. So same thing you can say to all the terrorists or anti-social elements. Since both are keeping silent, now our Sanjaya comes. Sanjaya uvacham. Eva muktva arjuna sankhe rathopastha upavishate visrujya sacharam chapam shokasam vigna manasaha. This is the report from the third person who is observing. Five people are observing this dialogue. Five are hearing this dialogue. One is Bhagavan, immediate hearer. Second one is Hanumanji, who is sitting on the chariot. Third one is Sanjaya, Duradarshi. Fourth one is our Dhritarashtra, and fifth one is our Vyasa. Without hearing, how can he say report? He also was hearing. So Sanjaya says, Arjuna is totally broke down. Shoka samvigna manasaha. Arjuna ha shoka samvigna manasaha. He is totally broke down. When you have a great conviction in your decision, you should be a man of strength, na? You cannot make a decision and you cannot claim that decision as a great decision while crying. Crying, you cannot make any decision. The very cry shows that the decision is a
wrong one.
So here Arjuna, who symbolizes the Mahasamsari, a typical picture. He has given great decision, but the person is totally broken down. Sasharam chapam visrujya. He has thrown away his bow and arrow. Throwing away bow and arrow means giving up the duty. A man of great decisions will never give up his duty. But here, he has given up his duty, shows the problem of moha. And shoka shows the problem of raga and shoka. That too where he has given up bow and arrow, sankhye in battlefield. Then what happened? He could not even stand because so much of emotionally he was moved. Terribly he was emotional. Therefore he could not stand. Ratho upastha upavishate. He could not even stand. So he sat throwing away all his bow and the arrows. Compare the Arjuna just 40 shlokas before he entered the warfield. He asked Krishna, "Hey Krishna, senayor ubayor madhye ratham sthapayame chuta," he told. "I want to see who will be killed by me, who are there to sacrifice their life. I want to see them." That type of enthusiastic Arjuna, now totally broken down. Out of 5 people who were observing and hearing this, all the other 4 are unhappy with this decision of Arjuna. Only Dhritarashtra is happy because he wanted to keep his chair somehow or the other. Therefore, he expresses his happiness. Commentators say he expresses his voice. Oh, there is a new turn. So he asks Sanjaya, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" Sanjaya says, "I will tell afterwards only. Now what is going to happen next is the important question in his mind. It is a climax for him." Vyasacharya says, "Story will continue in the next week." Om Tat Sat. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Arjuna Vishada Yogo Nama Prathamodhyayaha. With the prayer mantra, first chapter ends. What is that prayer? Om Tat Sat. Prayer is Om Tat Sat. All these 3 are the names of the Lord. Om is one of the name, Tat is one of the name, and Sat is another name of the Lord. Om means Avati iti Om, that which protects us is called Om. Tat means Indriya Agocharaha. He is not available for our sense perception. Therefore, he has the name called Tat. Sat means Rikala Satyam. All the 3 periods of time he is available. Therefore, he is Satya Vastu. So we remember the Lord. We remember the Lord telling his name for what? For thanksgiving. One purpose is thanksgiving. Somehow or the other, 12 hours, 13 hours it took for us to complete one chapter. So therefore, without any obstacle, we could complete one chapter. Therefore, thanksgiving and asking for his grace for the continuation of the study of Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So in this spiritual dialogue between the Lord and Arjuna, which is called Upanishadsu. Upanishad means Moksha Shastram. Upanishad Saravatvat Upanishad. Actual word Upanishad goes to Veda, Vedanta portion. But here the teachings of the Vedanta is given in the form of Gita. So therefore it is called Upanishadsu, which contains the Vedantic teaching, Moksha Shastram. What is there in that Upanishad? Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastri. 2 teachings are there. One is Brahma Vidya, knowledge about the truth, which is taught in the Vedas at the end of the Veda, Vedanta Vika, Vedasya Antabhagaha, Brahma Vidya. Yoga Shastri. Yoga Shastri means Veda Purva Bhagaha. Veda Purva Bhagaha, that is which contains the details of sadhana. This is the uniqueness of Gita. In Upanishad, you will not have much details of spiritual disciplines because it is the final portion of the Veda. Initial portion of the Veda, all the spiritual disciplines were described. After following that only, a person comes to Veda Antabhagaha. In Gita Shastram, both are in a detailed way it is dealt. Therefore, if a person is a uttama adhikari with all vairagya and viveka, immediately within one shloka, first shloka, Bhagavan is going to tell first shloka in second chapter, 11th number. Ashochyan anvashochaswam prajnavadamcha bhashase gatasun agadasuncha na anushochanti panditaha. Wise man will never have grief. You have grief, therefore you are Arjuna, you are dash dash dash. You have that decency not to tell you are a fool. Wise man don't have grief, you have grief, therefore Arjuna, you are dash dash dash. One shloka, nasato vidyate bhavaha, nabhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayor api drishtontaha, vanayo tattva darshibihi. Only one shloka enough for him. But we are all mediocre. So, a mediocre person should be taught the spiritual disciplines in order to get the yogyata prapti. And this is a samvada. Samvada means guru shishya samvada. A dialogue between the guru and the shishya. It is not a dialogue for establishing your own arguments. It is not a jalpa, it is not a vada. Varieties of dialogues are there. It is not born out of arrogance, it is born out of love. Love in the mind of the guru gives out this knowledge to a shishya who has faith and reverence. So, Arjuna Vishada Yogaha. The samsara of the shishya is described in this chapter. Raga shoka mohatmakam samsaram arjunasya samsaram drishyati. With this we end the first chapter. From the next class onwards we will continue second chapter, and we will have a prayer to the Lord that he should provide a conducive atmosphere to learn this wisdom. Because this wisdom is going to be a deciding factor for our day-to-day happiness. With a prayer, we conclude the class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namah.